Welcome to another episode of Oversaturated, the podcast, where we discuss music, movies, and pop culture. I am Johnny.
And I'm Ralph.
Welcome to episode number
31. 31.
Hey. Keep it practicing.
Right. I practice that a lot.
Right. I know our loyal listeners, they know all the social media joints, but this is for our new listeners. New listeners, please make sure you guys follow us on all of our social media. Facebook, just search Oversaturated the Podcast. Instagram is Oversat the Podcast. Twitter is Oversat Podcast. And you guys can email us anytime at oversatpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, and shout out to our 5-star rating and reviews on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. There have been none this week, unfortunately, but to anybody that's new to this, please subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We will appreciate that. No, nothing below 5-star. Don't be a hater.
Yeah,
but, you know, and if you have any comments or concerns, email us like my man said.
Yes. And we do shout out 5-star reviews
yes. When
we record, so.
Yes, yeah. We do. So.
Yeah. And last thing, don't forget to check out the website, oversatthepod.com. All of our previous episodes are there, and we got new merch in. We have gray shirts with blue letters with the blue logo,
It's
lit.
Yeah, for sure. And also, we have to plug this, Brace Radio. Live show, July 21st is going down.
Yeah, so we were talking about this before, before we started recording. I don't think a lot of people truly understand what the breaks is. So, you know, me and Ralph, we are oversaturated.
Facts.
But me and Ralph are also part of the Breaks Radio.
Facts.
With CEO Hayes from The Awakened Soul. We all join forces to create a new podcast where we pretty much break down hip-hop. Because that's what we do, and we do it well.
Facts. And we do that on a weekly basis, but, you know, Oversaturated stays bi-weekly. So, subscribe to The Breaks
yes. As
well. But also, we got a contest going for tickets to this live show. Shout out to the ladies of School and Life Podcast. They have sponsored 2 tickets for The Breaks Radio live show going down Saturday, July 21st in St. Louis at Herb Arts. So, these are the criteria for that contest. You have to subscribe to Oversaturated, which we already know you guys are, School and Life Podcast, as well as Breaks Radio, so on iTunes. Leave a 5-star rating and review for all 3 podcasts, and then your name will be entered into a drawing. But it has to be in the month of June.
Are we going? We want them to leave a review for all 3 or just the 2?
I mean, if you haven't left one for Oversaturated, it would be nice.
Right.
I'm just saying. 5-star rating and review. Like we said, don't be a hater. But please do subscribe to the Ladies of School and Life Podcast, as well as our other platform, The Brace Radio.
Yes. All right.
But yeah, man. Oh, we had an interesting Friday.
Yes.
We were at this network event. Shout out to Empire Gym, located in Belleville, Illinois. That's, you know, pretty much in the hometown of where we're from. But shout out to Ralph. I know you. That sounds weird because my name is Ralph.
Shout yourself out.
Exactly. But the owner's name of the gym, we actually have the same government name. So he goes by Ralph as well. So shout out to you, bro. We appreciate you letting us come out and plug the podcast and the live show there.
Definitely.
We definitely networked with a few people. It was a great event. Like, we handed out cards. You know, nobody bought a t-shirt. But, you know,
it's all good.
Right. But, no, that's not what we were there for. But, you know, we definitely plugged the podcast. It was a great experience. Shout out to, what's my man's name? Ace?
Ace. Chef Ace. Yeah.
Chef Ace is cool. Cool as a fan, man.
He's a chef. He raps. He does a lot of shit. Yeah. Jack of all trades.
Facts.
Man. So, shout out to him.
Facts.
It was a good event. I forgot about it. Ralph reminded me the beginning of the day. I was like, damn.
Man.
I ain't had a change of clothes. It was hot.
Bruh, it was hot as hell, bruh.
I still made do, though.
Yeah.
So, it was all good.
I had on t-shirt and jeans. I felt, bruh.
Man. But it was lit, though.
Yeah, it was. It was a great event. We got a few followers right there on the spot. Like, so, we hope that those people are listening.
Yes. So, shout out to you guys.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, so off the dome?
Off the dome.
Off the dome.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
All right, so both of us, we're fans of lyrical rap.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many lyrical rap classics.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you, what non-lyrical rap song do you consider classic?
Oh, a non-lyrical rap song?
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad you asked me this. Oh, man. Non-lyrical. lyrical rap song that's just immediately a classic. I mean, I can go straight, you know, something that everybody can agree on because it's a Negro spiritual. Nuck if you buff, man. Like, it's...
Agreed.
Like, agreed. I mean, I can run them down, but those are more so our era of songs. Like, I can't really think of anything that's a newer class of song. Like, mm-hmm. you know, Nuck If You Bug, Wipe Me Down, those are, you know, those are vibes.
Oh, Wipe
Me Down. I don't care what you say about the lyricism in that song. Don't do that. This is...
It don't matter.
Like, we was raised on this, yo.
That's a fact.
And anything Lil Jon. Like, I'm gonna keep going. Let me stop.
For real. No, for real. Literally anything Lil Jon. Anything in the crunk era.
Facts. Big facts.
Borderline snap era, too.
I'll talk about it. Hey, man. Lil Scrappy, no problem.
See?
Bro, listen.
See? Okay, so mine...
Let me stop. I'll give you a whole playlist. My bad.
Mine is Back That Ass Up. Ain't not one
Negro spirituals, man.
Listen, if you're anywhere, not even just a party, if you're anywhere and Back That Ass Up come on, and no woman proceeds to like either just raise their arm, be like, hey,
right? I question her. I question who raised her.
Real,
like who raised
you? That's real.
No matter the socioeconomic status, like everybody loves don't that matter. Song. It don't matter how ratchet you were or whatever.
Listen. That song has transcended decades.
Oh, bro.
The song came out in 99. It's 20 years later.
I said this, and I think people don't really understand this. Back That Ass Up needs to be in the Library of Congress, bro.
No, I agree. No, for real.
I think we had that conversation when I was drunk one time. I was like, hey, bro. I was like, hey, that ass. Like, this song needs to be in the Library of Congress, yo.
That's real.
For cultural significance. Like, they put songs in there for cultural significance. That is a song of cultural significance.
Facts. So, listeners.
What
non-lyrical song, what non-lyrical rap song do you guys consider classic? Because there are many.
Many. Very much so. And I hate to say that they're mostly Southern rap.
I mean.
But, hey.
They do. Pioneers of non-lyrical classics.
Facts. That's all we got. But, hey, next question. But off the dome for me, it's been a crazy week, right? Crazy week and a half.
Right.
Right. It's been a lot. A lot that has gone on in this crazy week and a half. Who took the biggest L this week? I got four people for you, right?
Okay.
I got Roseanne. J.R. Smith.
Okay.
Aubrey or Drake, however you want to slice it. Or A$AP Rocky. Who do you think took the biggest L this week? Oh, do I need to give for the reasons why? I think you think everybody knows.
I mean, we could just give.
Okay, Roseanne lost her shoot due to racist tweets.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith had his blunder at the end of game one in the NBA Finals, where he pretty much took the ball back out and he assumed that the Cavs were up a point. Aubrey, Drake, Graham with the recent beef with Pusha T. And A$AP Rocky dropped an album the same day as Pusha T did, but it was overshadowed by the Pusha T Drake beef.
Yeah.
So, who you made to the biggest L this week?
It's either between J.R. Smith and Drake. Fuck Roseanne.
Right. Who got the most memes out this? Like, right. Who took the most L's and memes?
Ooh, I even saw a J.R. Smith challenge.
I saw that too. Oh, I think you put that in the group.
Yeah, man. I think I'm gonna rock with Drake. I think Drake took the biggest L.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that next.
Oh, for sure. But that, I just wanted to use that, you know, definitely as my segue. But I'm gonna give Roseanne on that. Okay. I'm like, Roseanne, you not only did she take an L because you got your, like, first of all, they bought back your show after what, years?
Hell, at least 20 years.
Yeah, it feels like that, right? Yeah. So they brought back your show in the height of this administration. You know, we're not getting really into that, but you not only did you get your show canceled immediately when it was highly rated,
right?
But you got everybody else fired just because you wanted to go on this racial tirade. Now, I will say this. She sticks to her bigotry. She ain't never switched up.
But see, this is the thing, though. ABC, which is the network her show was on, mm-hmm. right? They knew about Roseanne before the show got picked back up.
Facts.
So what did they expect to happen?
I don't know.
Did they think she was going to try to, like, just not tweet or censor herself? Like, come on.
I don't know. know, but we'll stop there because, you know, we can really stay there a little bit longer, but right. I really don't really like to talk about those things and social climates like that. But yeah, Roseanne definitely took a L because it's financial. That's why I said that.
I mean, but I don't really think that's going to hurt her financially, though.
Well, maybe out the other actors on the show.
Well, true.
The actors and the writers and the producers, like that type of stuff.
So the rest of the cast took the L, not Roseanne.
Well, yeah. I see where you went there. Okay. But no, we got to get into this Pusha T Drake beef. Now, we did talk about this on the breaks. However, so much has transpired, and even in the past, 5 days since we recorded that? And no response from Drake, though. But Drake, it's just been a lot of, like, commotion. Like, it's still, like, bad out here in the streets. But
Drake has officially lost this battle.
He has. Like, it's a lot, right? Now, I know everybody's been following it. We won't get too much into the bar breakdown because we did that already. Like, you know the timeline of things, but we're just here to comment, you know, kind of commentate on what's happened before, after that.
Right.
Now, allegedly, we don't know this to be true, but I believe it. There's $100,000, like, damn near like a bounty, almost, like you would say, like, for information on Pusha T that Drake could use.
Exhibit A on his L.
Facts. Like, you go pay $100K to somebody to give you information on, you know, whatever Pusha T, you know, whatever information you can get on Pusha T. That's already a bad thing. Now, Jay Prince. Drake has called Jay Prince into it. Jay Prince, yeah. Now,
see, I missed that.
Now, if y'all don't know who Jay Prince is, Jay Prince is like the godfather of Houston hip hop, pretty much.
Right.
Pretty much, right?
Right.
So, Jay Prince is who pretty much discovered Drake and introduced him to whoever, you know, to Lil Wayne or whatever. So, Jay Prince is kind of like this OG, kind of like this figure, this figure that everybody respects. Mm-hmm. And if he makes a call to Pusha T to, like, hey, lay off my mans, Pusha T will do it.
Yeah, but that's running away from the beef, though.
Facts.
Like, exhibit B on his loss. Like, come on, man.
And then if Kanye has to get on Twitter and tweet about this, that's another L.
Exhibit C.
Yeah, it's like,
on the L.
It's like, it's levels. Like, bro, like, I pretty much think Kanye called it off just because he know what Pusha T can do to this man.
Right, because Pusha T is still locked and loaded. I feel like he has at least 2 or 3 more tracks with more information than nobody knows about Drake.
Yeah, yeah. And then, the blackface. We talked about it, but however, Drake dropped a kind of like a PR type of statement right after.
Of course.
Like right after we recorded, so we kind of like missed that. But I hate the explanation. I don't really care what you were trying to prove by doing it. You did it.
Right. Right. And the explanation for why it was trash.
Yeah.
It doesn't excuse the fact that you did it.
And I didn't grow up in Canada, so I don't know. I don't know what the racial climate is in Canada.
It don't matter.
But it's not a rival to U.S. racial tensions. Like, it's not. It's not, right? And I don't know what Aubrey was trying to prove by doing that,
sir.
Like I like when I read it, I got it. That don't mean you should have did it.
Exactly. It don't. And was, how old was he? Did he say he was 17 or something?
He was like 17, 18, somewhere up in there.
Even then, at that point in your life, at that age, you should still know that it's not okay. Like, Drake, sir, you have lost.
Fast.
I think I tweeted this. If somebody in 2016, if somebody would have told me Nicki Minaj and Drake would take L's in rap battles in successful years, I wouldn't have believed it. Nicki Minaj took that L to Remy Ma last year.
No, you're very right. My wheels are turning now that you said that. Nicki Minaj has never really bounced back from that.
She hasn't. And she's supposed to be coming out with an album this year.
Now, hey, somebody let me know. If there's anybody like that's a true Nicki Minaj fan, not a bar. I ain't trying to talk to none of y'all niggas. But
no, you can't say that now because you part of Beehive. You can't say that.
But I'm rational Beehive though.
Hey, there's no such thing.
Damn it.
It's an oxymoron.
You know, I'm in the back though. Like, I'm, they barely let me in.
There's no such thing as the back and the Beehive.
They had to check all my references. They didn't even want me to come in.
But you in there. But you in there. That's all that matters.
But it's just like Nicki never really was bounced back from that.
She definitely has.
She's
not.
Been cold musically. I don't hear nobody say. I don't care about the guest features that she been doing. That's right. Trash.
And I don't care about that. That Chun Li shit was horrible. What was the other name of the other song?
Barbie Teens, I think. Something
both
like that.
Both of those songs were not good.
Hot garbage.
I don't even want to get into the Chun-Li song because, as a gamer, Chun-Li is not even a villain. And she kept talking about how Chun-Li was a villain in the song. Come on. All right, I'm off. I'm off that.
Just because you put your hair in, you know, those knots.
Chopsticks and shit. Come on. We don't care you got chopsticks in your hair. And I saw a performance that she did of the song. She was dressed as Chun-Li, but she had Raiden in the background. That's two different games. That's Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter.
Hey, man, we got to get Nicki out the paint for that shit, bro.
Come on.
Well, I don't know if that's enough to get out the paint, but that shit trash.
Come on, man.
Sidebar. Like, I really want to address this, too. Now, you know, we did a Twitter poll about Kanye. Sidebar. This is another sidebar.
Oh, about Kanye. Well,
yeah. Now, we had 82 votes on that. Shout out to anybody that voted on that Twitter poll.
We appreciate that.
Three responses. Are you excited for Drake? I mean, pretty much in a nutshell, are you excited for Kanye's new album?
Right.
Yes, no, hell no. 62% of 82 people said that they were excited for Kanye's new album. So some of y'all lying.
Somebody lying.
Like, y'all know this vote is confidential, so y'all probably click yes and, you know, like, but somebody lying, because, like, we were supposed to get Kanye out the paint. He make America great again. He with Donald Trump. I don't want to support him, but 62% of our poll, which is a microcosm, I understand. But still.
Listen, man, it's okay if y'all still want to listen to the album. It's really okay. Like, as a person, I'm getting Kanye the fuck out of here. I listen to the album. It's not a great album, but it's not a pure garbage.
But it's not like, it's not for me.
Yeah, it's not something I will play all the time. I may go back every now and then.
It's kind of like how I feel about The Life of Pablo. Like, it's just hella random. Like, yeah. A whole bunch of.
Yeah,
we'll say that for the breaks if y'all subscribe to that. Yeah, we'll digest the album more by then. But it's interesting. It's number one on iTunes.
Interesting.
But nobody wants to listen to Kanye West. Exactly. So, like,
listen, man,
I'm just going off what I see, and what I see on my timeline is a whole bunch of Kanye bashing. Oh, I'm not rocking with Kanye. Fuck Ye.
But
slavery was a choice. But y'all listening. Somebody listen to it.
Hey. Listen, it's really okay. If you want to listen to the shit, it's okay that you want to listen to it.
It's okay.
Don't stunt.
It's okay
media.
If you want to listen to, I hate to say this, if you want to, sidebar another one, if you want to listen to R. Kelly, you want to listen to Chris Brown, you want to listen to all these artists that are problematic, that are, you know, have a lot of bullshit that goes on in their personal life.
Listen.
Hey, I'm not here to judge. I understand if y'all want to get them out the paint, cool.
Cool.
But obviously somebody's still listening to their work.
If Ghetto Queen comes up on my iPod, I'm going to listen to it. I love that song. R. Kelly and Crucial Conflict. I love that shit. It's okay.
Who am I to judge? Hey, man. I said this before. I don't know if I ever said it, like, out loud, but I Wish, like, came out around the time my grandmother died.
Mm-hmm.
That song pretty much mirrors what I felt at the time.
See?
So, that's not a song that's going anywhere for me. I know R. Kelly's a piece of shit. I know he deals with underage women, but let me tell you this. That song's not going anywhere for me.
See, there you go.
And I'm saying that now.
That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nobody's going to make me feel bad about it either.
There you go. And there you have it.
Now that we talked about songs, I guess that's a good segue. These segues are horrible.
Hey, man.
Horrible.
It's part of our appeal.
Right. Thank you for rocking with
us.
Yeah.
It's part of our appeal, man.
But we have to toast. We have to shout out. We have to bring light to a great figure in hip-hop.
Yes.
Or just in music general.
A man that I personally feel like doesn't get the type of recognition that he should get.
Facts.
This is a guy that has produced many acts. That
facts.
Many of which we still
rock with today.
Yeah, still rock with today. A man that has written
for countless artists.
Countless artists who's actually being inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame on June 14th, I believe.
You talk about
2018.
It. Mm-hmm.
Just the individual that people tend to overlook somebody who should be, I think, is on the same level as Diddy as far as, you know, putting on musical acts.
Big facts. He is the godfather of ATL rap.
Talk about it.
Like, he opened the door for everybody in Atlanta. That is not... Debate me, and I'm not from Atlanta. Like, I want you to find somebody that's before him that kicked down doors in mainstream hip-hop for Atlanta.
For Atlanta. No, that's real. I agree with that. We are talking about the man, the myth, the legend.
Right.
Jermaine Dupri.
Facts.
I wish I had an air horn.
Right. Right. We still low-key, low budget. Like,
right.
Oh, low-key, hey, 10,000 plays on SoundCloud, but I'm off that.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Y'all saw it.
Appreciate you.
We appreciate all of the listeners.
That was humble.
From then until now.
Facts.
And the listeners that we plan to get, you know, in the future. We appreciate you all.
Facts.
But we have surpassed 10,000 plays.
Yes.
We out here.
Yeah. But no, it's interesting because he's just getting inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2018. You know, alongside Kool & Gang, John Mellencamp, and Ellen Jackson, who are headlining this Hall of Fame class.
Nice.
He is the second person of hip-hop lineage to be inducted along Jay-Z. The God. But it's interesting because, like, they kind of wait to give people that credit. Like, it's interesting that Jay-Z's in there, but, you know, that's another story. But, like, somebody like Jermaine Dupri, who's known as a songwriter. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, known as, like, put the pen to pad for people. Like, and it's interesting that they're recognizing hip-hop now.
Right.
That I enjoy that. Like, that's good to know.
And, I mean, I guess this would be a good way. I mean, you know, of course, Jay-Z is already there.
Yeah, yeah.
I think these two hip-hop individuals are a great way to start letting hip-hop individuals go into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. So, shout out to those.
Do you know that Berry Gordy just got in last year?
No. Like, just in 2017?
Look it up. When you get a chance.
Well,
like,
yeah, yeah.
But I found that out in my research. I was like, Jay-Z and Berry Gordy was in the same class. Wait a minute.
Yeah,
that's wild.
That's hella wild. Huh.
Berry Gordy penned a lot of those Motown joints, or at least put his name on it.
Right, and Motown goes back, like...
Oh, 59, we did that. You know, we did that song and dance already. Right. Like, but it's just interesting, though. But, like, Jermaine Dupri started as in an entertainment background. He came from, like, that family. Like, his dad was a talent manager in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of gave him the start, like the inside information. I mean, the inside track. He was actually a background dancer for Houdini.
Damn.
At the age of 12.
Now, see, that I didn't know.
Look at the Freeze Coming Out at Night video.
Huh.
You'll see a young JD pop locking.
You know, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. A lot of hip hop, like, artists from back then started out as dancers, as backup dancers.
Hey,
Pac started out as a.
Talk about it.
J-Lo, I really wouldn't consider her hip-hop, but, you know, she was affiliated.
She was hip-hop then.
Yeah, yeah. J-Lo. Damn, yeah. Jermaine Dupri.
Yeah.
That's interesting as hell.
Look that up.
Huh.
But just if y'all don't believe me, go look at the Freaks Coming Out, Freaks Come Out at Night video. There's a little boy dancing with a Jerry curl, pop locking. Jermaine
Dupri.
Yeah.
Damn. With a Jerry curl. That's hilarious.
Facts. But Jermaine Dupri pretty much started what we know is Atlanta hip hop. Like, So Def Records, we can start there. Him as a mogul. Do we forget how big So Def was?
I think a lot of people do.
I think we do. Like, even I'll call us out on it. Remember we did Sign on the Dotted Line with
King Skrilla,
yeah. Episode 15. We never mentioned So Def.
And that's our fault.
And it's in the same vein as Bad Boy. Bad Boy isn't strictly hip-hop.
Facts.
Like, this is a hip-hop... Like, it's a hip-hop label, but you got R&B acts that are just as good. If not, probably the flagship artist of the label.
Yes. Damn. See, we call ourselves out on bullshit.
We call ourselves out on our bullshit. Like, because we have to think about this. Like, I mean, Criss Cross was his first platinum artist.
Right.
In 92.
And he wrote
the
single Jump at 19.
Listen, he said Criss Cross winning rappers.
Right. So, I remember this. I remember watching an interview with him. He said he was in the mall. JD was in the mall one day.
Mm-hmm.
Saw Criss Cross in the mall just shopping. He was like, damn, they look like they, you know, they do something. So he walked up to them and asked them, like, what y'all do? He was like, nothing. We just shop and get girls. He was like, I like y'all. Teach y'all how to rap.
Yeah.
And Criss Cross is born.
Platinum.
Platinum. Crazy.
Out the jump.
Who else like, could do some shit like that?
Somebody with a true genius mind like JD. Like, I don't think that's really up for debate. Now, So-So Def has been in existence for 25 years. You have never heard any of their artists come out and say JD steals money from them. Like you have never like heard any like scandal. Now people go their separate ways in business. That happens, but you never heard like, oh, JD steals money from me. Oh, it's hell over there for me. It's So-So Def. Right. Oh, this. Oh, that. You've never heard that.
I don't even recall an artist saying they're leaving So-So Def. Like.
Well, I don't recall anybody leaving, but people have creative differences because, like, we'll get into the lineup, but, like, Jagged Edge would leave. Mm-hmm. Like, they left So-So Def after a while. Lil Bow Wow. He left after a while. Yeah. So, you know, it happens.
Damn, that's interesting.
Yeah. But let's look at this lineup, right? Just the overall all-time lineup. You got Escape, the Brat.
Brat.
Who?
First, female MC to go platinum.
Yeah, talk about it. You got Jagged Edge.
Jagged Edge.
Harlem World. I did not know that.
Harlem World?
You remember? Yeah, they were signed to Bad Boy. That was Mace's people.
They were signed to So-So Def?
I like, yeah. I really, really not. That was So-So Def.
I didn't know that. I did not know that.
Yes, yes. I was like, what? And then you had Jermaine Dupri, who's had two solo projects himself. Right. Shout out to Money and a Thing and Welcome to Atlanta. Yeah. That's all I got.
Which are both staples in the hip hop community.
Facts. Yes. You got Lil Bow Wow who went triple platinum out the gate. Listen, out the gate.
People will not deny Bow Wow's hip hop accomplishments.
Oh no, you won't. Like we can clown on him right now. But
right, but come on.
Lil Bow Wow?
Hey.
Oh, respect to God.
This man had
He was Drake before Drake.
Damn.
I mean, not to say Lil Bow Wow couldn't write his own stuff, but he was a kid.
He was a kid.
T.I. did write, I think, his second album.
He was
But nobody counts that against that.
Right, right. He was a child.
Facts.
That's okay.
Facts. But Young Bloods?
If you don't give a damn, gonna throw it up.
Right. Man, what? Like, that was, I think that was the So-So Def era. Like, I know they had 85. Bone Crusher.
Damn, he was on So-So Def.
Yes, he was. I got one for you.
Uh-oh.
Anthony Hamilton.
Really?
First album, So-So Def. That's why that first album went so hard because JD had his hand on it.
I didn't know that was So-So Def. I swear
facts.
I didn't.
I'm big fast. Now Jaquan.
Everybody in the club getting tips.
That was him. them franchise boys.
Hey, Snap. Like, he was talking about the Snap music.
In my white tee.
Hey. That shit. Don't act like them franchise boys didn't have everybody out here wearing big ass t-shirts.
Bro, listen.
Like, for real.
And then I was fat then, like I'm fat now, but I had the tall tee joint and my belly sticking out, so it didn't look right, but I def had. Like, I was wearing 4 tees. Anyway, like, it's just. Nope, nothing.
Back when this shit was popping.
Facts.
A 2XL was a tall tee for me.
Long ass shirt, man. Bro. We so trash, but wearing that stuff.
I got nothing. You right?
It was what 4 for 20 attempts, 5 for 20, something like that.
Listen, then you mix and match the colors,
bro. Hey. Get your headband
right. No, did you used to wear the 2 headbands? Right? Like
Nelly had us out here trolling. Get you some Air Force Ones, nigga.
Listen, Air Force Ones are the most uncomfortable shoe. Bro, in the history of shoes.
Air Force One so trash, bro. And then you can only wear them one time because once you crinkle the toe, you don't even want to wear them.
Right. Right. Yeah, people are out here walking stupid as hell trying not to crease them shoes.
Or people would get their size too big and put something in it. We saw the complete size.
Reminisce. Where was we at?
Right. I got Rocco. Like, you know, that's, you know.
Rocco.
Yeah. John Tolson, you familiar with him?
I feel like I heard the name. What's one of his own?
He was on Out of My System with Bow Wow and T-Pain.
He was on the hook?
Yeah, he was on the hook. But his song is called Turn It Up, something like that. You'll know it if you hear it. Trust me, if I played it, you'll know it.
Turn It Up.
Yeah. Turn it up.
I'm going to look it up
right now. But John Austin's a dope guy. Like, he's more like a songwriter, like a Neo type. Like, he penned a lot of songs for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And then he tried to jump out and do the solo act thing. And I'm not sure what happened, but he got joints. He had an album called Ocean Drive. I'll never forget it. It was in undergrad. Joint went. Like, he had a song with DJ Unk. Yeah, like...
Really?
Yeah, bro, Ocean Drive, bro. Like, it's so underground. I think it was damn near like a mixtape. But it's not... like, if you search John Austin Ocean Drive. But the name of the song was Turn It Up. Like, he flipped a Luther sample. And JD produced the beat.
Wow.
You can tell, like, when you listen to it, it sounds like something JD produced. Especially around that time. It's like 2007. Mm-hmm. Like, you... It's reminiscent of what the song sound like at that time.
Damn, hold on. I think I found it.
Mm-hmm. Was it on YouTube?
No. Apple Music. Turn It Up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That boy, we burn it up. And all I ask for you to do is turn it up.
I definitely feel like
I heard that. That was like a big... Well, I'm going to say big. I mean, you know. But it had a video and everything. I think it was low-key like on 106 and Park or something.
Really?
Like, it had a video. Hmm. But JD.
That definitely sent... That's definitely a JD song.
Bro, talk about it. But I think that he is like... This is just him as a mogul, as a record label head. Mm-hmm. What do you think about him as just a mogul? Like,
he, like you said, he put together So Dev. It's been here in hip hop for 25 years. Facts. Like, then Bad Boy just had their 25th year anniversary, like either last year or year before.
Probably like a year and a half ago now.
Yeah,
something like that.
I don't understand why it is that we don't recognize So Def.
We really
as we recognize we, like a Bad Boy or
we
something.
We kind of like overlook them,
like for real.
Honestly, let's take Biggie off of Bad Boy.
Who do you really have?
Like, how equal are the playing fields now?
Like super equal.
Super like outside. Okay, I'll give you Mace. Mace was a big deal, but Mace only had one album. But he had a lot of features.
You could argue and say, as big as Mace was,
mm-hmm.
Bow Wow may have been just as big, even though he was a child star.
Yeah, like the levels are different. But yeah, I get what you mean. Like, you know, Mace's appeals to grown people. Like,
right?
Bow Wow had
the Scream tour, right?
That was his tour.
They sold. Like, the shit was sold out across
the
United States.
Wherever they went, they sold out.
Like, who else on Bad Boy, besides Biggie, who else really did
like,
that?
Like, who had, like, the staple, like, around, like, the country, like, a Bow Wow? Damn, that is a crazy argument.
See?
Makes you think.
And then, again, with Brat, the first female MC to go platinum. Like,
and I think we all respected Brat for what she did, even though it was kind of niche. Like, maybe her image. Mm-hmm. Not a rhyme pattern, right?
Right.
But definitely, like, image-wise. And then even when she flipped it up and became more of a sex symbol, still, she could still spit.
We was all shocked. But,
Big facts!
But, man.
Big facts. But, let's talk about JD and his production, though. Like, his production? Bro, I can't even get into it, like, because it's so much. Like, if you looked up JD's production discography, mm-hmm. you're gonna get lost. You're like, damn, he did this, damn, he did that.
Yeah, because I remember back when we did the Kanye joint episode zero, like, looking at his production credits, I didn't know he did most of what he did.
Facts. So, but like, it's like, I'll jump out the window and say this: STL hip hop thrived more because of JD. he did work with the big three, mm-hmm. Nelly, Chingy, and Jaquan.
Wow.
Now, am I lying?
No, you are not lying. You are not lying.
He came to St. Louis after Chingy, like after Nelly and Chingy popped off. He was like, man, let me find somebody here.
Right.
Got Jaquan. But he produced hits for Nelly, Murphy Lee, and Chingy.
Wow.
Think about this. We talked about this before. How you think Chingy got the song with Janet?
Makes a lot of sense.
JD?
Makes a lot of sense, right?
The JD connection.
Right.
JD was dating Janet at the time. Shout out to Jermaine Dupri for dating Janet Jackson, and she's older than him. I just realized that.
See?
Because I thought that they were the same age. Janet got him by 6 years, bro. Jermaine Dupri is only 45.
JD low-key may be the GOAT. Like,
for real. We're not putting enough respect on this man's name.
Come on. For real? From what I see, his production credits go back to 92.
Mm-hmm.
With Chris Cross. Well, I believe he may have been 18 or 19 at the time. So just think about that right now. Think about any 18 and 19 year old you know right now that produced a multi-platinum hit.
The only person I'll even throw out there, and it's not a troll, but like Metro Boomin, I think he's like 19.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
I've never seen, I don't know what it looks like, but I thought he was older. I thought he was like mid-20s.
No.
Really?
Metro, like, at the oldest, he's 20. And you've been hearing young.
I've been hearing it for a minute.
So, because Metro Boomin's from St. Louis. He just moved to Atlanta.
Right.
So, he moved right after high school. You've been hearing, if young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you probably for like maybe 2 years now.
At least.
So, he got to be at the oldest 20.
Wow.
But that's all I got. Like, that's the only parallel. I mean, the only thing I can throw out there. But still, I mean, your point is very valid. But you talking about produced the whole platinum album. Like, when people had to go buy albums. Not to discredit what Metro Boomin is doing, but that's a level.
Right.
Like, I think that's dope. But I think you'll like this analogy, right? Mm-hmm. He executive produced Usher's best albums.
Confessions, what else?
The best three. My Way, 8701, mm-hmm. and Confessions. Just like the MJ Quincy Jones thing I like to throw out there sometimes. Right. The best three. Not to say, you know, albums before and after aren't.
Those
were
his first three, right?
No, he had an album before because he wasn't on Diddy. He was on, I think, Uptown or something like that. Diddy handled his first album.
That's right. He was like super young, though.
He was super young. And then all of a sudden, you know, he was like 17 in My Way. And then JD got a help of him. Mm. JD was real good with child stars.
Right. And he still is. Like, I don't know if you were familiar with the show The Rap Game.
Not too familiar, but you told me about it.
Yeah, so, and I think they're on like their fourth or fifth season now. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, they take a bunch of child MCs mm-hmm. and they, you know, they all stay in the house with their managers or whatever. And they go through different competitions each week. And, you know, they eliminate one by one.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these kids can really spit. Like, it's one chick that mm-hmm. this one season I watched. Her name is Dee Trinata.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she has to be maybe 15, 16. Mm-hmm. But she can spit.
Where's she from? She from Atlanta?
She's from somewhere on the East Coast, I think.
Gotcha.
But, she, like,
she can
like, she can really spit.
Well, I mean, think about it like this. Like, you see what that did for Usher's career. Like, I don't think Usher would have been Usher without JD's guidance. I mean, the talent is always there.
Right.
You know, I made that argument about Mike, and it's not the slander, but the producer is just as important. That's mm-hmm. why I bring them up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see what JD did for Usher.
Right.
Like, arguably, after Confessions, you ain't really been rocking with Usher. And that's not just you. That's just the consensus.
Well, yeah.
Like, the album, like, you know, a whole album of Usher.
No, you're right. You're right. I don't need to be honest with you. I'm not even sure what Usher's albums are after Confessions.
Like, I can name them. It's like Here I Stand because he got married after that, and people was like, "What? What happened?" He got married. I think it was Here I Stand. Well, you know, let me stop lying because I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But Confessions was like probably the last great R&B album. Now I dare somebody to find something better after Confessions.
R&B. We ain't talking about this,
like,
hip-hop R&B hybrid.
Because, like, with Confessions, like, that was the last purest form of R&B around that time. Now, am I bugging? Like,
no.
And I mean, even on accomplishments, I mean, well, just the record sales alone, Diamond. JD did that.
For real.
The title track is about JD.
See?
Now, how disappointed were you when you found out? Like, not to say that you were like, oh my God, but it's just like, this song ain't really about Usher? I like, mean,
well, you know me, I don't really
care. But
yeah. I mean, I don't care that it wasn't about Usher, but the music was great.
Yeah, it's like, well, I guess because you really thought the art was like his life.
Right, well, yeah.
Because at the same time, you know, you went through the thing with Chili. So, right. It was like, damn, us.
Damn, that's fucked up.
Yeah, damn, us, you doing like that, bro?
Chili, though?
That was really JD and Janet. Damn it.
See? Crazy.
Right, but I thought, like, I can't think of any, like, great R&B album after Confessions. Now, somebody, you know, you can bring up an album, but, like, the album, mm-hmm. like, consensus. Everybody say Confessions is the shit.
Yeah.
I have never heard anybody say Confessions was a bad album.
I haven't either.
I'm waiting on somebody to say that. You know how you can bring up an album like, oh, that's alright.
You can't say that about Confessions.
You say that you can't.
And if you do, I want to know
why.
Yeah, definitely why, and I want to know your other musical tastes. Like for real.
We have to talk about
we
that.
Have to.
Now, it is interesting because JD, he's a mogul. He produces records and he writes songs. Like, we just talked about it. Like, Confessions was really about him.
Wow.
Like, I mean, he has to be a great songwriter. He's in the Songwriters Hall of Fame.
Well, of course.
Yeah, of course, right? So, like, he has penned, like, some great, like, R&B songs. Like, he has helped Candy from Escape write a lot of their songs.
Right, right.
Like, he's wrote songs for Mariah Carey. And I ain't talking about the Mimi. I ain't talking about Mimi. I'm talking about, like, Mariah. Like, did you know he wrote You'll Always Be My Baby?
No.
Nigga.
Come on.
He should have been that shit after. When did that song come out? 95? He should have been that bitch in 96. Fuck out of here. Like, just off that song alone, bro. But JD wrote, like, he wrote that song? Now, and then think about how that song go. Just think about the bop in that song. Mariah Carey was hella pop then.
Come on, man. Why y'all not giving this man respect? Like, for real.
It's not me saying this. This stuff in black and white. Y'all can look it up, too. I was like, oh, it's me, my baby. Like, I know he. And then, after a while, Mariah went and started doing other stuff. Because, you know, it was a while where Mariah's career was kind of stagnant.
Right.
Like, she, that mid-2000s.
She was in the, fuck was that movie name?
Glitter.
Yeah.
Trash, right? Now, when she hooked back up with JD,
popped off again.
Bruh. She had like two albums that jumped off like right after that. I know we was like either late high school, early college.
Fuck, what was the name of that one song?
What, We Belong Together?
Yes. Listen.
Talk about it, man.
I like this song a lot.
Hey, man.
if you're in the car by yourself and that song come on, ain't no way you not singing it.
We in the trust tree.
Right.
Yeah, we in the trust tree. Even though our listeners are here, like, I feel like if y'all judge us, we don't care. We're in the trust tree.
I'm singing with you in the car, shit.
Nah, talk about
hey,
it.
Hey, I'm saying.
A lot of Jagged Edge songs.
Yeah.
Jagged Edge. Like, Jagged Edge may not be the quintessential 90s group. Like, you know, the Jodeci's, the Boyz II Men, those guys. But they had that late 90s, early 2000s crossover.
Yes.
And they had a lot of hits that JD was a part of. I mean, Where the Party At? Like, that's probably their biggest song, right?
Yeah.
I would think so. I would say so. I would think, like, we always make this argument, right? Like, even though we find songs that are like, we know songs that are better than the best hit for a certain artist. Like, Where the Party At is okay. But it's not the best Jagged Edge song.
Right. But I think it had
the crossover.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Like, it's all about chart placement at that point. You had Nelly on it at that time. Right. So it was.
Right. And we all know Nelly during that period was, you know, out of here. Now, I don't know what you got next on your list, but mm-hmm. we got to talk about the remixes.
Mm.
That Jermaine Dupri produces.
I would damn near say he's up there with Diddy, if not more.
Oh, listen.
Like, it's so deaf. How many times did you hear that?
Hey, hellas. And And the reason I thought about that is because of the Word of Poitier remix. Word of Poitier remix was fire. Like,
what was another big remix? The We Get Married remix with Let's Run On It. Let's Get Married remix with Run On It.
That shit was hard. Reverend Run, right?
At that time,
he was like far removed from rapping, but it made sense.
Facts.
Like, and it was hard. Like, it was hard.
He did In My Bed remix.
Yes.
If you want to dance.
Hey.
I'ma make you dance. Hey. if you want to move.
Hold on.
I'ma make you move. I got this. That's why you're my brother, man.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's lit.
Facts.
But it was him and Brad on the remix, right?
Facts.
And they was going back and forth.
Come on, talk about it. Talk about it, man.
And we might have to see, and this will be hard, but we may have to do a remix bracket with Sozo Delph and Bad Boy.
Hey, man.
Because
tit for tat, we can do that.
This is...
We can damn near match up those record labels together. Like, the only thing that puts Bad Boy over the top is Biggie, and I dare you to find something else.
Like, you...
I'm really trying to think about it, and I know somebody that listens to this show is going to... Like, they go G-check it. Like, they go fact check, but...
Yeah, man. Like
Faith Evans 112. What else? Lil Kim was not on Bad Boy, so don't say that. Loon? Like, I don't. Like, I'm not even trolling. Like, Mace, Moon, Mace, Black Rob, Day 26. Like, I don't.
Craig,
I'm not even. Rest in peace to Craig, but what we got?
Yeah.
What, one song? Special Delivery Remix 2? Like that.
Oh, that's G Dill.
I mean, but he was on the remix.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. He was on the remix.
Yeah, they tried to recreate the Flavor in Your remix.
G Dill, like you said. Flavor in Your remix. We really listen to that for everybody. Like Biggie.
Yeah. Hey. Talk to us about it. What y'all think?
I'm really like trying to wrap my brain around this.
We are literally
stumped.
We're stumped and we're literally. Like, really, literally talking out the fact that Jermaine Dupri is, like, one of the GOATs in hip-hop.
Like, for real. He should be up there with, like, the Diddy's, the Dre's. Like, real. You know how Dre is, like, the thing that West Coast, like, that brought out the West Coast? Even though Ice-T was out before Dre.
Right, but yeah. You can argue that Dre left a bigger stamp on the West Coast.
Oh, facts. Like, facts.
He is, Dr. Dre is West Coast sound.
But Shady is Atlanta. Like that. I want somebody to find somebody else.
Like who? Literally there's nobody else you can put, for real.
Like they were like, oh, Outkast. No, Outkast was not out first.
They weren't out first. And I mean, if you really think about it, they were really only artists. Like they didn't.
Listen to this. I got one for you. Guess who was A&R on So Def?
Who?
Lil Jon.
Really?
I'm not fucking with you.
Come on. for real.
He worked on So Def too. It was like maybe in to like 99, 2000.
Come on, man.
Right before he became Lil Jon. And I'm wondering why he was never on the label, but that probably never fit.
JD probably didn't. He probably wasn't fooling with the crunk shit.
But you know what? That's true too, because like he said that he passed up on, who did he pass up on? It was somebody. He passed up on somebody big.
Mm-hmm.
It was Ludacris.
Because
he said he could sign Ludacris too. He said that the people that he had around him, that he was too animated. He was like Busta or something like that, which is true.
Right.
But that wasn't something that he felt like, I don't know if I can really do that. Then Luda became Luda.
Right. Fucked up. But I mean, even with that, it's still like he had that opportunity. It almost seems like everybody from Atlanta somehow goes through JD.
It's a line that goes through JD. Like JD was cool with like TLC and them before they came up. He just didn't sign them. Like if y'all don't believe what are we saying, just go listen to JD's like Dream Champs interview. Like, was it Drink Champs and he was on Breakfast Club?
So I didn't get a chance to look at the Drink Champs interview, but it's still in my queue. But I did watch the Breakfast Club interview, and he got so many gems, so many stories.
I think he dropped the most gems on Drink Champs because he was drinking.
Yeah.
And you get a lot, you know, you're a little bit more relaxed, right? Because it's not a radio, right? And he was talking about how Puff and Suge came down to his birthday party in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is pre-social media, and they got into a fight.
Wow. See?
He said that's where the real East Coast, West Coast beef started.
Okay. Like, you JD, just blew my mind just now.
JD is sitting on a... You never seen the Dream Channel?
I haven't.
He's sitting... Bro, he's sitting on a wealth of knowledge.
Think about how big the East Coast, West Coast shit was. Rivalry. And to have that shit start
in Atlanta at JD's birthday party.
Come on, man.
And then, you know, just getting back to the whole, like, how he's good with childhood stars. Like, you didn't watch the Dream Champs interview. Like, he said that, you know, Bow Wow was signed to Death Row.
Yeah, but he was, like, 4 or 5 or some shit.
It was crazy because, like, he was signed to Death Row, but Death Row had became defunct. Mm-hmm. And he was really underneath Snoop's wing, but Snoop was going through so much.
Right, right.
So he said, hey, JD.
Yeah.
Come get him.
Could you imagine... If Snoop would have like continued to carry Bow Wow under his wing,
especially at that point in time for Snoop, this ain't Snoop lying. This right. ain't the Snoop that's making gospel.
This ain't past. This ain't Deacon Snoop.
Facts. This is Murder Was a Case Snoop.
Man.
So when Bow Wow put out that Death Row picture, it doesn't seem that far fetched now.
Right. Yeah. People was hating like, oh, you.
I mean, Bow Wow is a human punching bag. Come on.
You know,
I mean, he sets himself up for so he does. Much slander.
I wouldn't mind interviewing him just to like just, see where his head at. Like
mean? I mean, Bow Wow's a staple of hip hop.
No, facts. You cannot deny that. You cannot deny that.
Like he is a point, a figurehead, a staple. I'm not saying he's a goat or anything, but he's definitely right there. We got off into a tangent.
We did.
But back to JD.
Yeah.
But he has helped write songs with Ludacris, C Murder, Monica. Janet Jackson. I ain't gonna say he wrote songs for Jay-Z, but with Jay-Z.
With, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, like on their collaborative efforts.
Yeah.
Definitely money in the thing, though. You know, that goes. Like, you put money in the thing goes right now. But I think with JD, like, his sound was never really, like, too street.
Mm-hmm.
It had enough, but it was definitely for urban radio appeal. And I think that's why we overlooked JD, because he's really for us. Like, you know, you can always get a bop out of this. Like, you right. know, you always got a vibe out of this. But you'll never hear JD on, like, the top 40 or something like that.
Damn, that's true.
Like, because, like, with other rap labels, like a Def, like, let's just say Def Row, which is a completely different label, right? Mm-hmm. Def Row had an appeal because of their gangster rap moniker, which is not a moniker, but that's really what they were doing. But. Right. That's gonna cross over rather than somebody that's just making some, you know, just some music.
Yeah. Huh.
Bad Boy had their, you know, their appeal. Like, they, you know, the Biggie was not necessarily gangster, but.
That's an interesting take, because
JD always remained black with his music. Like, he never sacrificed sound. He never made pop songs. Even, like, I gave you a greatest example of a song that's probably JD's biggest writing, like, hit,
mm-hmm.
which is Mariah Carey, like, Always Be My Baby, right? If you gave that to an artist with darker skin, like, shout out to episode 29, we talked about underrated women in R&B, but, yeah. like, let's just say, you know, a certain woman had gotten that song that wasn't Mariah Carey. That'll just be for us.
Damn. Because that colorism shit was real.
Oh,
especially in the 90s. To early 2000s.
Mariah Carey sold more records than Whitney Houston. And, not to say Mariah Carey can't sing, but Whitney Houston is known as the voice, right?
Right.
But Mariah is known as the artist of the 90s. Like, the artist.
Didn't they do a song together?
Yeah.
What song?
I can't
think of it either.
When You Believe or something like that. I know it was on the Prince of Egypt soundtrack.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah. Like, I'm sitting here really trying to think, like, most of JD's songs, his hip hop songs at least, mm-hmm. have that bop to it,
mm-hmm.
bop to it that you would think would be able to cross over.
But it doesn't.
Do you think it didn't cross over? They don't cross over because non-black people don't consider it like black enough. Like I don't know. Like I'm really it's trying like a, to understand.
It's like a commercial hip hop. Like
yeah, like
it's like commercial.
I'm really trying to understand.
Like
this.
Think about like the songs that he gave, like Murphy Lee or Nelly, right? Like Grills. Like I love Grills.
Right.
But like, I'm just saying, like what like, that was good for Nelly, but it's like right here. Like, it's not going too far left. Right. And it's not, that's not being played in a club.
That is interesting. Is that, maybe that's the reason why we don't really,
I don't know. Like,
I hope after this discussion, all the listeners realize how much of a GOAT JD is, because,
and I hope we didn't lose anybody. Like, I hope, like, this is,
I want to know if this makes, if this is making sense to people, because this is definitely making sense to me.
Yeah, and think about it like this. Let me throw this out at you. You know how we talk about Grammys, how they're underrated, they're overrated, but they do have some level of validity, right? How many Grammys you think JD got?
If I had to guess, I'm gonna say 20.
One.
What? What? No. No, no, no. Hell no. And is it for Mariah Carey?
Yeah.
Come on.
But the song you like, though.
We Belong Together.
Yeah.
Wait, it took him that long to get a Grammy?
Nigga, you know how long ago that was?
But think about when that song was out compared to his career. At least my man's going into the Songwriters Hall of Fame.
At least, remember what Pusha said? Like, I don't tap dance for all these, you know, for the crackers and all that. And look right. How long it took them from the recognized hole or something like that. I can't, you know, I'm paraphrasing because right. I can't remember. Yeah.
But this man only has one Grammy?
One. You got an album that sold 10 million records. Now, the difference between him and Quincy, like, I'll make the parallel between him and Quincy. Quincy was, like, a true musician. Like, he had orchestras and shit. So, it's levels, right? And then you produce for Mike. Like, yeah, so that helps too. Like,
But he doesn't only produce, though. He produces, he writes, he's an artist himself.
And he's a mogul.
And this man only has one Grammy.
One. That's why it's like, it's kind of like they never respected hip-hop, but they do. Like, it's weird because, like,
it's like they trying to now.
They trying to be, but it's like Jay and Kanye have 21 apiece, but that's only because they created hip-hop categories for them to win. They never won Album of the Year.
Right.
Those are the most, like, accomplished people in hip-hop if you're talking about Grammys.
This is mind-blowing. Like,
JD only got one, yo, and that was for an R&B song that he wrote.
All the other, like, hip-hop songs that this man has produced, written, and he has one Grammy.
He produces, writes, arranges, make the business decisions. God.
What a man got to do to get some respect around here?
I arguably say he's better than Diddy.
Like for real.
Diddy's just known as more of a businessman. Like, I think, you know, Diddy was definitely on the boards. Don't never let me, you know, say that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about, like, as of right now. Let's look over the track record. But nah, you know what? Let me think about this, because Diddy did have Jodeci and Mary J. Blige. let me put some
R&B wise though, like. But I mean,
you still had Jodeci, bro. Like, Jodeci alone, bro. Jodeci and Mary J. Blige's first album. Okay,
yeah.
You know, let me take that back. Like, it's, but it's interesting. We can go tit for tat with JD and Diddy, though.
We really can.
We really could.
Damn. As we're having this discussion today, my mind is being blown, because it's like, too, I've always thought or asked myself, you know, how come JD doesn't get, you know, the type of recognition that a Diddy would get.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, really talking about all the things he's done and accomplished is, like...
Well, I think he's... JD is JD as loud as JD has been, which is not loud.
Mm-hmm.
He's never been louder than Diddy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As far as, like...
And he's not really... I don't want to say an attention whore, but, like, yeah, he doesn't really... I don't know if he likes to be in the spotlight or not, but he's not really out in the media like that for real.
Nah, and then, you know, Diddy had a lot of... He had to rehabilitate his public image after the whole shooting thing, too.
Right.
So that plays a part into it, Diddy being a mogul outside of music. Because if we're talking about JD, we're talking about strictly the music.
Mm-hmm.
Diddy, we're talking about Ciroc. We're talking about Sean John. We're talking about other stuff.
We're talking about a lot of the shit outside of music.
Facts.
Yeah.
Facts. And that's what I think kind of brings more light to the Diddy brand and the fact that he changed his name, like, you know, a few times.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's just been kind of like a staple in pop culture, where JD just kind of just like, I'm all right being where I'm at. Because Diddy, when you think of Diddy, you think of like synonymous with like a glamorous nightlife, right? You think VIP, you think nightlife, like you think that when you think of Diddy.
Right. You don't...
Like, Diddy's name is just synonymous with shit.
With, yeah, a bunch of extra shit.
Yeah, it, exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
And Jermaine Dupri is in. Interesting.
Interesting.
Like, I think we just uncovered it.
we answered our own question.
We did.
I hope people have been rocking with us this long, because I don't know if we went too far on the tangent and we lost people.
Yeah. I think, well, this is just me. I think it keeps it interesting. But yeah, hopefully y'all feel that way too.
Fast. But how do y'all feel about Jermaine Dupri?
Yeah.
As like a whole entity, like the mogul, the songwriter, the producer.
Because the man has range. The man has been out here for hellas providing us music. Music I didn't even know he was providing.
And it's like, it's underappreciated music, like, at the same time. Like, it's very under... Like, do we really appreciate the brand and work that she's done?
No, people...
Do we appreciate Jagged Edge for real? We always like to compare them to Jodeci and, you know, Boyz II Men and 112 or whoever the fuck else we can think about. Right. You know what I'm saying? With One Gotta Go. One Gotta Go used to be Jagged. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like... So it's like, do we really appreciate, like...
No. The answer is no. And we should. I really should.
I think we don't. But it's like, if those songs come on, you rock with them.
Right.
I guarantee you.
Right. But we got to put some respect on Jermaine Dupri's name, man. For real.
And low key, you know, we kind of did this for other episodes. We might have to make an Apple Music playlist.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah,
we'll do that. We'll have to. It's gonna be all remixes on that shit.
Nah. It's gonna be a lot. It's gonna be a lot because we talking about what JD done wrote, produced, and his own shit. Well, it's only two songs.
Well, at least you got Welcome to Atlanta and Welcome to Atlanta Remix.
But was he on the remix?
He wasn't. I mean, he was on the hook, but
troll.
But shit. I mean, Ludacris was still on there, so. Yeah. Atlanta.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah.
No, we will put the original on there for him.
Yeah, man. For the culture.
For the culture.
But yeah. Yeah, man.
You think we good? I think we good.
I think we good, man. Let us know if you guys agree with us that Jermaine Dupri is arguably one of the GOATs of hip hop, just in general.
Like, just in general. Like, looking over the track record. You have to look at the track record.
Definitely. Like, The man got hits. He has hits as an artist. He has hits as a writer. He has hits as a producer.
He has hits as a... Oh, you say artist?
Yeah. Like, the man has put out many acts that we still enjoy to this day. Come on. Come on. We could low-key have a So-So Def, like, party with just only So-So Def music.
Oh, facts. And low-key, he tweeted, I think they're doing an anniversary concert. He said So-So Def 25. I don't know what that means. Maybe. Like, but the thing is, I think he has a better relationship with his artists or former artists, even though they may not be signed to him right now.
I miss the Bad Boy shit. I'm going to the So-So Def shit.
If it's a So-So Def concert, I would definitely go. You know, rest in peace to Criss Cross, because I know they wouldn't be there. But yeah, yeah, but
you know they have a tribute.
Man, listen, bro. Yeah.
JD, we need that.
Man,
we need that.
Man, salute to you. Salute, man. Like, we're here at Oversaturated. We'd like to say thank you.
Yes.
I don't know if anybody has really openly do that, because they do that for Diddy. They do that for, you know, I don't know. But
you're me. Jay-Z.
I felt the shade.
But you did. You did.
But I just feel like Diddy gets all the roses when JD does it.
Yeah. Yeah. And these are our roses to JD.
Facts.
So, yeah.
Man, episode 31, man.
Episode 31, man.
Hey, man. We out.
We out. Peace.
Chill. Sure. Put it down hard for my dogs that's locked in the bang. When you hit the bricks, new whips, money ain't a thing. Yeah, I want to floss with us. All across the board, we burn it up. What? Drop a little paper, baby, toss it up.